So here in Luke chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ is having what we often refer to as the Last Supper with his disciples. And in it, he took opportunity to prophesy about his, which ties in with tonight's message, about Judas betraying him. But then he also takes opportunity to give Peter a great warning. And that warning we all need to take heed to. So notice here in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 21 of Luke chapter 22, the Bible says, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So our title is, "That Thy Faith Fail Not." Let's pray. Our Lord, we are grateful for the privilege of being here and assembling in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would now speak to each of our hearts through your powerful word, that we would honor you by listening and learning and responding, and Lord, that you'd be lifted up. So we are grateful and we give you the time. Guide us now. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in these initial verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing them for this warning to Peter by warning them that someone's about to betray Christ. Of course, Jesus knows everything. He knew the future. He knew what Judas would do. But sadly, their response wasn't what it should have been. As we saw there in verse 23, they began to inquire among themselves. They began to look around at each other at the table and say, "Is it you? Is it you? Is it you?" What we really should do is say, "Is it me?" Amen. And understand that all of us are capable of failing the Lord. All of us are capable and have the capacity to, as it says here, fail in our faith. And we should always be looking inside and saying, "Is it me?" But that's human nature, isn't it? Is it you? I mean, our kids do it, don't they? And our grandkids. You growl at them for something, they say, "But..." and they point to one of their siblings. And that's just human nature to try to deflect it. And that's what they were doing. Rather than saying, "It could be me," they thought, "Is it you?" And then, unbelievably, after being told, "Someone's about to betray me," in verse 24, they said, "Which one of us should be the greatest?" It just blows my mind to read this. They're having an argument about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And, of course, this gives Jesus a wonderful opportunity to teach them the importance of servanthood, which he came to be an example of. So not much humility there. Which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And they said, well, and Jesus said in verse 26, "He that is chief among you as he that doth serve." If you look at chapter 23 in Matthew, verse 11, Jesus stated it a little bit differently here in Matthew 23:11. But I can tell you from Scripture, one of God's measuring sticks for someone who's truly living for the Lord is, are we a servant? Notice in Matthew 23:11, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. This is one of the ways that God measures greatness. Is, are we willing to serve? Are we willing to serve others? And are we willing to serve the Lord? And then Jesus lifts up himself here in verse 27. He says, I'm among you as one that serveth. I'm the Lord. I'm the Creator. I'm God. And I'm here as a servant. And as we know from John 13, that he took the same opportunity in this at this meal to even wash their feet. Which is amazing that the Lord, our Creator, would actually wash the feet of dirty, rotten sinners. But he did. And if you look at Philippians chapter 2, we'll see here where Jesus came to be that example of a servant. And here we have the disciples arguing, who's going to be the greatest? Who gets to sit in the biggest throne? Who gets to sit the highest at the kingdom? And notice Jesus here in Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Look up at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what mind that is? The mind of a servant. That's what Jesus wants from each of us. So Jesus took time there to rebuke them, but also to remind them, you guys have stuck with me, and you will stick with me after I'm gone. And notice verse 28 of our passage, Luke 22. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. You've stuck with me. Verse 29. And I appoint unto you a kingdom. So yes, you will get a kingdom, as was promised all through the Old Testament, as my Father hath appointed unto me. And you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now notice Jesus said there in verse 30, my kingdom. It's Jesus' kingdom. And as we can see from this passage, it's in the future. But he said, you will be rewarded, and you don't need to be fighting over who's going to be the greatest. Just serve. So all that's just preliminary to now, verse 31, begin our message where he turns to Peter, or Simon Peter, and says, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know, the Bible tells us, 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's real. The devil has real helpers. And the devil is after us, if you will. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be afraid of him, but we need to respect him. Amen? Because we're told in Ephesians 5:11 that we must be ready for the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means tricks. He's got plenty of tricks up his sleeve, doesn't he? He will try to tempt us with sin. He will try to attack our thought life. He has many ways. He might attack us through others. But we need to understand that just as Satan desired to have Peter, he desires to have us. And our faith can fail. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But what happens when Christians' faith fails? Well, we'll look at that. But look what Jesus said. Beautiful. Verse 32. I have prayed for thee. Imagine how special that is. To have the Son of God say to you as an individual, like he did to Peter, I've prayed for thee. Peter was special. And we find, sure enough, the first half of the book of Acts is all about Peter's ministry, isn't it? But Peter, I've prayed for thee. And what a privilege to have the Lord himself say that he prayed for us. But one of the preventative measures, if you will, of our faith failing is always prayer. And you'll find, if you find a Christian whose faith has failed, they stopped praying like they used to, for sure. Because Jesus said, watch and pray. Let's look at it, Matthew 26:41. This was not long after this event in the Garden of Gethsemane. when he just took Peter, James, and John with him in Matthew 26. And look what he said, Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Without Jesus, as he tells us in John 15, 5, we can do nothing. We can't stand against temptation. We can't have victory in our lives. We can't serve him as we should. And we certainly can't stand true to our faith without Jesus. And he's trying to teach Peter this lesson. Peter didn't learn it until later, of course. But he said here, verse 32, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That's a very sobering statement. This is Peter we're talking about. That thy faith fail not. Let's look at Luke 18:8 if we could. Jesus made a very sobering prediction, question, whatever you want to call it here. But he says, when he returns, which is still in the future for you and for me, what will he find? Luke 18, verse 8. I tell you, he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What a question. He says, when I return, and nobody knows when that is, and nobody knew when he said these words. When I return, am I going to find faith? Am I going to find people still standing for me, still trusting me, still believing me? Will I find faith on the earth? What a question. We're told in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. That is for all of us that are born again believers. We're to stand fast in our faith. But I want to talk a bit this morning about this faith that fails. And we have some examples in the scriptures. And how does it happen? Well, one of the ways that people's faith fails is in this matter of sin and the world. They stop resisting temptation. They stop confessing sin. And before they know it, they are a mess because they have gone back into the world, back into sin, and back into the ways of the world. We saw that in the parable of the sower. It says they fall away. But let's look at a couple of examples. 1 Timothy chapter 1, if we could. And this is the first way that our faith can fail, if we're not careful, is in the matter of sin in the world. And the devil's constantly trying to use it against us, isn't he? He knows what that besetting sin is, and he's always trying to get us to stumble and fall. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Some, talking about Christians, concerning faith, he says, they've made shipwreck. They quit standing against sin, standing against the world. They went back into sin, back into the world, and their faith has shipwrecked. We've all met shipwrecked Christians, have we not? There's too many of them out there. They just quit fighting sin, quit fighting the world. While you're in 1 Timothy, look at chapter 6, verse 10. Sometimes it's just the things of the world, which in this particular verse is about money. But look what it says. The love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Erred from the faith because of the love of the world and the things of the world, because of the sin of the world. And so one of the ways we see here that faith can fail is in this matter of separating from sin and from the world and confessing sin, dealing with sin. The second way we find is relative to trusting the Lord. Look at James chapter 1, if you would, and verses 6 and 7. Now, here God is commanding us, if we lack wisdom, to ask of God for wisdom. But notice what he says in verse 6 of James chapter 1. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What a statement verse 7 is. Think about what that's saying. That if we aren't believing, if we aren't trusting that God can answer our prayers, if we're not believing that He has the power and trusting Him, we're like a wave of the sea drifting up and down, back and forth. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything. And some people, their faith has failed in that area where they've stopped trusting God, stopped believing that God can do anything, answer their prayers, protect them, whatever it might be. And doesn't it say in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him? And so one of the areas is in the matter of sin and the world and confessing and so forth. Another area is just trusting God. Their faith has failed in that area. The third one, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 1:3, is in the area of serving. Now, we looked at this in the parables earlier, but once God saves us, He expects us to serve Him. He's given us gifts. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's there for us, and He will help us, but He wants us to use our gifts and serve Him. Serve Him in reaching out to the lost. Serve Him in our local church, but He wants us to serve Him. And notice 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Work of faith. Many Christians have stopped serving the Lord. Stopped that work of faith. Their faith in that area has failed. And then fourthly, many have quit considering church important. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God says our faith grows as we go to church, as we go to the teaching and preaching of God's word and get around God's people and corporately worship, that our faith is boosted, it grows. They pull themselves away from that. And you know what's going to happen. Their faith is going to go the other way. And their faith is going to fail. And then the last one and the saddest one is in the way of doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's turn there. Many Christians' faith fails in their belief in God's word, and they get led astray by false doctrine, false teachers, false prophets, whatever you want to call them. Notice 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. They will depart from the faith. And I've seen this many times over the years where Christians, they get caught up in some silly little thing, some silly little doctrinal thing, and it becomes really important to them. And pretty soon, they're gone because they try to spread it or whatever it might be. And I've seen it many times. I just... an example, our church in Arizona, a family that was super faithful in our church. I mean, she was a Sunday school teacher. He was one of our song leaders. I think he was our treasurer. Very faithful. And guess what? He found something on the internet about how it was wrong for churches to register as a charitable organization with the government. Just that little thing. And because we had registered, which all churches are supposed to do, so they can get their tax-free status, blah, 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 that was evil. And they left over that. And within a year, they were actually outside on the footpath with signs and placards protesting our church. The very people that used to be faithful members over that one little thing. You say, oh, that never happened to me. Well, then you need to stay in the Word. Amen? And don't get your doctrine from the internet. God says in the latter times, we're in those latter times, some should depart from the faith. Look at Colossians 1:23. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. But this is the fifth way in which people's faith can fail, where they actually get led astray by false doctrine. Notice Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Be not led astray from the faith, from the hope of the gospel. And it can happen. And then another one, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. Many examples on this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and what? Overthrow the faith of some. You see, what happens is when people do find these little things that become important to them, they don't keep their mouth shut, do they? They have to tell everybody about this thing. Like the lady 6 months ago that showed up on a Wednesday night and wanted to tell us all that some Baptist wrote a book and therefore hell isn't eternal. And now it's spreading among Bible-believing churches that hell isn't eternal. Well, that teaching's been around a while. The Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists have been teaching it for a long time. But it's not in the Scriptures. But that's that one little thing, and you have to tell everybody. And that's what happened with Hymenaeus and Philetus. It's one thing for the two of them to say, well, you know what? We believe the resurrection's already happened. Which, by the way, the Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists teach that as well. Has the resurrection already happened? Nope. It hasn't. But what did they do? They couldn't keep their mouth shut. It says there in verse 18, they overthrew the faith of some. They had to spread it. And so we have to constantly be on the lookout. As we look at Ephesians 4:14, and we'll look at that quickly. Ephesians 4:14. What does God say? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's a lot of deceivers out there. And so Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, I'm praying for you. The devil wants you. The devil wants to sift you. And I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail, that thy faith fail not. And as we see, there's many different ways that the devil, who is that roaring lion, can lead us to fail in our faith. We can fail in resisting sin in the world. We can fail in trusting God, that He is all-powerful and can do anything and answer our prayers. We can fail in stopping to serve God, stopping to go to church, stopping to read our Bible and pray and so forth. And then lastly, we can fail in our doctrine, in our understanding of God's truths, which haven't changed in 2,000 years, by the way. Somebody comes along and says, I found something new. Just say, talk to the hand. There's nothing new. But you know what God wants? 2 Timothy 4:7. Let's turn there, and then we'll go back to our passage. 2 Timothy 4:7. This is what God wants from all of us relative to our faith. By the way, this is the last chapter that Paul wrote before he was martyred and went to glory. And right before he died, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Isn't that good? Kept the faith. My faith never failed. I've kept it. This is what Jesus wants from each one of us. I talk to the men about this at the men's fellowship, but it's sad, but the truth is a Christian can live an amazing Christian life for 40 years, but then if they fall away right before they die or whatever, 10 years before they die, that's what they're remembered as, that Christian that fell away. The 40 years of service, it's gone. They're remembered as the one that didn't keep the faith. This is what God wants from all of us. So go back to our passage here in Luke 22. Jesus said there in verse 31, verse 32, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, you would think that his reaction should have been, Lord, thank you for praying for me. I need help. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fail. But it wasn't that, was it? Verse 33. Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and death. I'm strong, Lord. I can do this. I'm not going to fail. Did he fail? He denied the Lord three times, didn't he? And when the Holy Spirit points out something in our lives and we're drifting away from God, should our response be, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to stand and I'm going to finish my course with joy and finish my faith. No, our response should be, I could fall just like Peter fell. Lord, I need your help. I need you. I don't want to fail. That needs to be our response. 1 Corinthians 10:12, look there, but this needs to be our attitude all the time. Is I could be Peter. I could live the Christian life for 30 years and then fail. And we need to constantly have that attitude about ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he, what? Fall. This is written to Christians. Don't ever think you've arrived. Don't ever think that that's it. I'm standing now. I'm good. No more issues. That's exactly where the devil wants you. Always have the attitude that you could be Peter. And that your faith could fail. That you need help. That you need God's strength. You need his wisdom. You need his power. You need prayer. I could be Peter. If you could just do that one thing. And then Jesus, verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I mean, admittedly, God didn't write down our failures in a book that lasts forever. Aren't you thankful for that? But he did for Peter. And now millions and millions of people have been able to read about Peter's failure. But Peter came right. Hallelujah. He got sorted and he got right with God and became a great Christian for God, a great preacher, great church planter. God used him mightily. But he had a lesson to learn, didn't he? And that lesson is we can all fail. And never think that you can't fail. And if the Holy Spirit comes along and says, you better watch out, our response shouldn't be like Peter's, I got this. Our response needs to be, Lord, I need your help. I don't want to fail. I know I have the potential to fail. I don't want to. And if Peter would have had that attitude, who knows what could have happened. But he didn't, and he did fail. And then he wept bitterly, thought it was all over for him, thought his ministry was done. And then after the resurrection, Jesus specifically sent an angel to say, go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus has risen from the dead. Aren't you thankful God's a God of mercy and forgiveness? So he said to Peter, that thy faith fail not. Many ways our faith can fail. And I know that's very sobering, but it's a fact. And we need to constantly have this attitude, without Jesus, I can do nothing. And I have the capacity to be a Peter. But that goes both ways. You have the capacity to fail like he did, and you have the capacity to be a great Christian like he was. And you know what's good about Peter? Is he finished right. And that's what we remember him for, isn't it? That Peter became one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. Hallelujah. And that's how it should be. That thy faith fail not. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this example from the life of Peter. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn that our faith can fail. That the devil's after us. He wants to sift us. And Lord, if we don't stay in your word and stay in your on our knees, stay reliant on thee, Lord, we can fail just like he did. And I pray that we would be strong in Jesus Christ, knowing that we can do all things through him. So, Lord, may we take this and apply it to our own lives and be constantly reliant upon you, dependent upon you. And thank you for reminding us today. I pray if there's someone in our service not born again, Lord, they'll realize they must be born again, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save them from their sins and give them eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.